Amen. I said it earlier, and just say it again, that when we think about potential, most people don't live up to their potential because they don't live up to their preparation. It's so important that we grasp that idea. There's a part of activity that we need to be involved in what God does in our life. And we're going to be preaching this morning on unleashing potential. Next Sunday, we'll finalize this Apple series. And wow, I've heard so many reports about how God's been speaking to people, and it's so cool. I love it when God does that. That's the greatest benefit of preaching, is when it does something to somebody's life, right? Information's good, but you can get information from a lot of sources. We want to see your life transformed, and even today. And we'll start a new series in November. It's one that we've done for several years now called At the Movies. Everybody say At the Movies.
At the Movies.
We will take, if you don't know this, people love to hear stories, and they love to hear stories so much that they'll pay big dollars to go hear stories in a movie theater, right? In fact, I would tell you this, that more stories are told in movie theaters and more people hear stories than any place else in our nation. Movie theaters have become the pulpit of America, and people hear truth and they hear lies and they hear right, and they hear it all in those places. And so we're going to take some current movies and pull out some places where we see truth being spoken, and then we're going to dig into God's word. And you know, I tell people, this won't be for the light of heart. We're going to dig in. And there's some people in your life that, just because it's a movie like maybe Avengers Endgame. Anybody ever watch that movie? Like five of you or something? Yeah. And you were more excited when you're waiting in line to get in there to see it than you are right now about it. But I felt like they should let you clock in when you watch that, because it's over 3 hours to watch, right? So pay me to do this or something. But we'll dig in. And sometimes people speak truth. How many know truth? If it's truth, real truth, right? It's God's truth. God is the owner of truth. All truth comes from him. So sometimes people, in their telling of a story, they tell something that is truth. I don't even know if they know it sometimes. And we're going to dig into some of that. We're going to just unpack that for our lives. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It'll be a great opportunity for you to invite some friends that, you know, that are into the movie we'll be doing or whatever. It's just an easy invite. And so we encourage you to take advantage of that. But today we're talking about unleashing potential. And we won't, this isn't comprehensive. We won't be able to get to every way you can. In fact, we'll focus on one specific this morning. I think about this, that in my life, what I am right now is a product of the choices and decisions I've made. In fact, the older that you live, the more your life is a product, the more responsible you are for what your life is, right? Let me help you. That the decisions you made in life have produced what you are right now. And you may say, well, you know, I had some stuff happen to me and it wasn't, you know, well, join the club. I've got compassion for you, but join the club. Everybody in here could give the laundry list of what's happened to them, what's been done to them, what didn't happen for them, when they got overlooked or when they weren't included or when somebody, you know, poked them when it shouldn't have been poked. Somebody poked me on Facebook. I'm like, what in the world is that, right? Quit poking me, right? So somebody did something to you, and we could tell those stories, and sometimes in right context we do, but my decision on how I responded to that and what I did with that has brought me to the place I am. Everybody with me? Right. So where you're at right now today is the accumulation, right? The just summation of the decisions you've made to get you here. And we see it like in the life of a baby. A baby will, when they're young, I think one of the first places that they let people, they just muster up their own independence is when they choose what they're going to eat and what they're not going to eat, right? And I'm with them too, you know? Like I watch these little babies, sometimes people give them this nasty looking green stuff and a spoon, and like, you put it in the baby's mouth and it's like, you know, it's a beautiful little baby, but it gets all kinds of ugly when you put that in its mouth, and it's like spitting it out and everything because it doesn't want it, because it's making a decision. I don't like this stuff, right? Give me some of that pudding, or give me something fruity, or give me something else because I like that, but I don't like this. And they're making a choice, making a decision. In fact, that toddler, when it grows up to be a toddler, it'll make a decision on, that's my toy. Even though I'm not playing with it right now, that other kid's not going to get it. I'm going to take it away, right? You got to share. No, I don't want to share. It's my toy. They're making a decision. They're making choices. And as you developed, and you that are sitting here today, most of you made a decision. Am I going to go to high school? Am I going to finish high school? Am I going to do well in high school? Am I going to go to college? Am I going to go to work out of high school? Am I going to Am I going to go into the military? Am I going to learn a skilled trade? You made a decision on what you're going to do after that and that point in your life. Another juncture was, you know, am I going to continue education? Am I going to go to work for this company or start my own business? You made those decisions. You made a decision on how you were going to date, who you're going to date, if he was going to date. You made a decision who you're going to marry, what that person is going to be like, right? I'm going to have kids. How many kids are we going to have? What are we going to name them? You picked the names, picked out where you live. You made all these decisions that have led you to the place. You made a decision on, am I going to go to church? I think you did it this morning. Am I going to church this morning? Am I going to gather to worship? Right? Am I going to come with, the Bible says this, come, right, with thanksgiving and praise. Don't come by yourself. Am I going to come with that? Am I going to invite somebody to come with me? Am I going to let everybody go to hell? I'm going to step on your toes this morning and have some fun, so you might as well get ready. Right? You made a decision. A lot of decisions that have positioned you where you're at today. You didn't arrive here accidentally. You may say, well, I didn't make all those decisions. I just kind of coasted. Well, you made decisions to coast, right? You made decisions to get where you are. And then, so what do you do? You know, when I think about all these decisions, what do I need to do? Because there's people in my life that have played a role, and I'm playing a role in someone else's life. I've got to make better decisions, and I make better decisions when I know who I am, right? I love what Esther 4 verse 14, book of Esther, about 10 chapters. If you haven't read it, or maybe you haven't read it in a long time, it's a great read, and you'll gain a lot of insight about God's purpose and potential when you read it. But verse 14 says this in chapter 4, for if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. I love that verse, don't you? Anybody know what I'm talking? You've read it before, you love it, right? You come for such a time as this. That if you remain silent, Esther, if you don't step into the role that's available to you, it may very well be that Jewish people may be lost, that no Jews, no Jesus, right? He's saying, God will do it, but yet you've been positioned for this, such a time as this. Let me tell you this, every one of you in this place have been positioned for such a time as this in your life. There's significant things in your sphere of influence and in the place that you are that need to happen, and they're going to happen when you step in and understand that your life is filled with potential, and that you have purpose, and you need to unleash the potential and discover the purpose. So we do next steps. We got step two after this service. It starts at 12:30. Maybe you're registered and you're going to be there. Maybe you haven't. Step two, you can come join us. We'll feed you lunch, take care of your kids. I encourage you to step into it because we want you to discover your purpose, because there is one, right? Look over at your neighbor and say, there is one. Yeah, there's a purpose for your life. There's potential for your life. And just think about this. When you think about, certain characters that jump off the pages and I'm reminded of throughout God's word, but there's plenty, and I can maybe do it with all of them. I don't have time to do that. But right, if there's no Noah, what happens? If Noah doesn't respond, go build an ark, and he says, I can't build an ark. I've never built one before. I'm inadequate. Right? Just voices all of his insecurities. I can't do it. I don't know how to do it. What's rain? We don't even know what that is. How do I explain that to people? They've never seen this before. And Moses, before the burning bush, he says, whoa, this is too weird and freaky for me. Where's my shoes at? I'm getting out of here. Right? There's no Moses. What are we dealing with, right? No King David. If David doesn't go down and respond to what God wants to do and says, listen, there's a giant out there, and is there not a cause? I'm gonna take this on. I'm going to take care of it. Where's my slingshot? Or my sling? Where's my sling? Where's the stones? David steps into that arena of saying, listen, I'm going to accomplish God's purpose for my life. I'm going to let the potential that God has put in me be unleashed. And by the way, David had plenty of practice, right? He was able to say, God's delivered me from the paw of the lion. God's delivered me from the paw of the bear, and he'll deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. I've been doing some preparation, right? And the potential has been raw, but God is honing and shaping this in me. right? If there's no Paul, right? The New Testament becomes pretty small. No Paul, it's pretty small, right? Look what Romans 10 says. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? There's got to be people that step in and say, you know what? My life, there's potential. And again, it doesn't matter the stage or age you're at in life. If you're living, if you're breathing, there's potential for God to use you right now. The purpose hasn't dwindled and went away. You're here for a reason. And I believe this. We need to get this right, don't we? Right? I want to get this right in my life. We need to make the right decisions in life, and we need to see the potential that God has unleashed and the purpose discovered. And so we're going to jump into Proverbs 3. We're using it for our text throughout this series. It's the passage that we'll keep coming back to. And I hope that you're reading at least these 10 verses in Proverbs chapter 3. It said, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. And as we said the first week, there's a rhythm to this. There's an instruction and there's a blessing. Instruction and blessing, right? Verse 3, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he's going to direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord, verse 9, with your possessions and with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Well, I love that passage of scripture, don't you? Maybe you're here for the first time. I encourage you to mark that up. Or if you got a mobile device, highlight. Maybe you don't have anything with you. Write down on the talk notes that, you know, to read this week, because it says a lot about our life and it speaks to this and a lot of things. But we'll talk about this for a few moments. Trust. Everybody say trust.
Yes.
Trust. We struggle with trust, but our entire relationship with God is built on that. Do you realize that? Right, it's all about the idea that we come to God, and it's about belief, it's about faith, it's about trust. Trust. John 1 and verse 12 says, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in him, he gave them what? He gave them the right, he gave them the power to become children of God, right? That it's based on this idea of believing, that I've got to have a faith relationship with God. I've got to walk with him in faith. Right? I'm not by sight, it's by faith. Paul in the book of Romans in chapter 10, he talks about the idea that we believe in our heart, we confess with our mouth. And that's the entry point of a relationship with God. It's based on, but we, if we're honest, we're like the guy that Jesus was talking to. He said, you know, hey, do you believe? He said, well, I believe, but help my unbelief. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? I believe, but there's some doubt hanging in here, and I'm believing, but sometimes we land there. I'm trusting, yet it's a hard thing for me to. I want to trust. I'm trying to trust. And I think about when I was a kid, prior millennium, we had these things in our house. They were like these big boxes. Some of you might remember them, big boxes, and they were attached to the house. And they had these little things. You put your finger in, you go like this, and then you pick this up, this other part, and you put it by your ear, and you could talk to it. They called them telephones. They, compared to our phones now, they were kind of dumb phones. They weren't smartphones. They were dumb. They couldn't take pictures. They couldn't memorize anything. You couldn't text anybody. It was just somebody could call you on them, right? And sometimes they would break down and go out, and so they would send a telephone repairman to fix it. A telephone repairman. When I was a kid, I thought these guys were like superheroes because they would come, and they would go up the telephone pole. They were like, there's almost, you know, like Superman. They could just up the telephone pole, and then they'd be up there, and they'd be like just hanging out up there, and they had this bigger phone, and they would like connect it to something, and they'd be talking. Anybody know what I'm saying? Anybody remember seeing that? And I always thought, that is so cool, you know? And then they come down. Well, I was reading about this interview with a telephone repairman years ago, and they was talking about how does he do this and all this, and And so he said, we have spikes in our shoes, right? So that helps. And then we have this belt. And he said, you hook the belt on, you lean on the belt. And he said, you got to put some trust in this belt. Because he said, when I first started doing this, I didn't have a lot of trust on this belt. He said, so it was very difficult because if you don't do that, then it makes it hard. And he said, coming down, he said, I got a lot of splinters coming down because I didn't trust the belt. And I think about how that works with us, that if we don't put our full trust in God, we end up with a lot of splinters in our life that really cause life to be hard and painful and wounded, and we deal with the after effect of that for some time because of our lack of trust. I love what in Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 and 18, the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're taken to bow down to this idol. They choose not to. Now they're before the king. They're facing the penalty. And they say it like this, kind of my paraphrasal. They say, listen, king, we're not going to bow, and you're going to throw us in the furnace. We get this, but here's the deal. We're believing God's going to deliver us, but even if he doesn't, your majesty, we honor you, king. Even if he doesn't, we're not bowing. We're not going to bow. Anytime, we're not bowing now. We're not going to do it. Because here's what trust is. Trust is believing in God even when the outcome may not be what we desire or what we want. Because here's what we do. I grew up in an environment where faith was preached really strong, and I love that. And I believe God for some big things. Anybody with me? I don't have a small God. I got a big God. He can do the impossible, the incredible, the stuff that I can never even imagine. He can do it. But sometimes we made it so narrow that if it wasn't the exact outcome, then somehow God wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. And here's what I find out. Sometimes God does stuff that we didn't ever see coming, and it was way better than what we ever thought about, right? Right? It's that idea that God answers. I love what Charles Lake says, four ways. God answers sometimes with yes. Don't you love it? Like, we all get really spirit-filled when it's yes. Yes. It's what I was praying for. We're going to tell everybody. We're going to shout it from the rooftops. I've been praying for this for 20 years, and God did it. Praise, or whatever it is. I've been praying for 2 minutes. Whatever it is. We're excited about it, right? And then sometimes God says no. Oh. No doesn't get the response that yes does sometimes. Sometimes God says no, and here's the deal. You got to think, praise God in the yes, but you got to trust God in the no. As much as you praised him in the yes, you got to trust him in the no. You got to have faith in God even when the outcome doesn't look like what you thought it was going to be. And the other thing that God does sometimes is God answers with a wait, right? Aren't you glad for God's timing? If God would have answered every prayer that I prayed when I thought it should have been answered, it would not have worked out very well. Because here's the problem. In the process, God is in love with process. In the process, something in me is developed that won't get developed if it happens right now. Right? It's the idea, if you crack the egg with the baby chicks in before it's time for it to come out on its own, you're gonna abort the life that could be there, because we've got to allow God to develop. And so there is a waiting, right? Weeping may endure for a night, but joy. Somebody shout joy.
Joy.
It's coming in the morning, right? There is parameters set. And God's got a timetable that's much greater than the timetable we have. And I've got to trust God, and you've got to trust God enough to keep sowing even when you don't yet see the harvest that's coming. Just because you're experiencing drought or famine in your life doesn't mean that God has abdicated his throne and he's not still in charge. He still is. It's, am I going to trust him when it doesn't? Because I don't even know if it's trust when everything's going my way. Right? I mean, everything's going the way I think it should, and I'm getting yes, 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 and there's never a no, and there's never a wait. Well, that's pretty easy. Right? Lord, I got faith. When I was young, man, I could pray for everybody for healing because I'd never been, didn't seem like I was ever sick. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because when you get a little older and, okay, some stuff's happening, I got to trust God even when it doesn't feel like it should, right? Yeah. And then the fourth way is sometimes God says, I got a better idea. Don't you love that? That you're praying for this and you had it all worked out and you know how, and then all of a sudden God just flips the whole thing on its end, and the way it comes out is way better than it could have ever been. You could have never imagined it being like it is, and God does that. So Proverbs is saying this: am I trusting my own opinion? Am I leaning onto my own ideas? Am I following me? Or am I going to choose to trust in God? And am I going to choose to put him first in my life? Right? Honor him with my wealth, give him the first fruits of my increase. Am I going to put him first? There's an order that God gives. Everybody say order. There's an order. And when I get out of order, it just doesn't seem like life is going to work right, right? So this morning, if I'd have came in, when I put this jacket on, if I'd have got mixed up and buttoned it like in the wrong order like that, then I'm hoping somebody that cares about me, loves me or something, would say, hey, pastor, wait a minute before you go up there. Because they know who I am. I don't want one hair out of place, right? Yeah. But they would have stopped me and said, hey, you got this all, and I'd look down, oh my, what did I do? So then, you know, what I would do is I'd probably try to fix it, right? And if they allow me to go up there looking like this, I would wonder, do they even care about me, right? If they would let me come, because here's the problem. If somebody loves you, they'll speak truth to you. They'll speak it with love, right? They're not going to clobber you in the head. Okay, this is truth. They're not going to do that. Let me give you some truth because I want to help you. And I don't want to do that today. I want to help you. But here's the problem. Sometimes we get things out of order, and the only way that they can be fixed is if we do a total reset, right? I got to start here and get the order right, because when I get the order right, it just comes together really easy. It's not a hard thing. It's not an embarrassing thing in my life. It just works and flows right. That's what I want to help you do today is, Maybe in life you kind of got that out of order, and you know, God wants first place in your life, right? Not just another priority, among a bunch, but he wants the position of your all, right? Lord means it. Lord is an old word that we don't use much anymore. It means this, allowing someone else, the Lord, to call the shots. Because if you're like me, I like being in the driver's seat, right? It's saying, I'll get out of the driver's seat. If Jesus was hitchhiking down on life's highway and you pull over and say, hey, Jesus, get in the back. You put him in the back seat. He's not a back seat driver, right? Put him in the passenger seat. He doesn't want to be your co-pilot. I know there's some sticker, bumper sticker says that or something. God's my co-pilot. No, it's wrong. He wants to be in the driver's seat to drive your life's car. So you got to let him have that position in your life. And that means this, that you make him first. First. Somebody shout first.
First.
So here's what God does in our life is he brings, and it's this principle that we see. We're going to read in Malachi, right? Malachi, the Italian prophet, here in just a few moments. So it's the last book in the Old Testament because there is some insight for you in there. And we're going to pull from some of that this morning. Before we do, let me illustrate how God does this in our life. Well, Pablito was great for the first service. He's not here. Of course, Shane, do you have a pocket in front of your jacket? Come on up here real quick. So you're not Matthew. You're not Michaela. Tell me your name again. What is it? Andrew. I knew that. Andrew. Give Andrew a big hand for helping me out today. How old are you, Andrew? 17, 18, 19, 14. That's close. Make a guy feel good, you know what I mean? So here's what God does. God does this. You ready? I want you to take these apples. You can use this if you want to, or pockets, whatever you need to do. Okay, here's one. He gives you one. Check this out. Right? This is a fruit of the blessing. Two. Three, help me count. Three. What's this? Okay. Yeah. It's a bunch of them, yeah. Six. Eight. 9, 10. And then what he says is, now, isn't that cool? He's got all these apples. So here's what God says. God says, give me one back. Okay? I gave you 10. Give me one back. Well, he did that pretty easy, didn't he? Sometimes we're not like that. Sometimes we're like, what? I got all these apples. I like these apples. I don't know where I'm going to put them all, but I got all these apples, and, you know, and I may need that apple someday. Maybe like Pablo. Why are you giving that apple to those people? Check this out. This apple isn't for people, it's for God. They're all his apples. He's the one that gave us those apples. He's saying, give me one back. And Andrew, when you give me one back, here's what God says. When you give God one back, he says, I'm gonna continue to give you an open heaven and bless you. So there's one. There's two. There's three. There's four. Five. You guys quit helping. You're laughing so much you quit helping me count. Where am I at? Six. Yeah. Seven. Eight.
It's gonna fall.
You think so? Oh, come on. Nine. Now check this out. Yeah, go ahead and keep those apples. They're all yours. Keep those apples. Because here's what happens. Check this out. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that when we're faithful to bring back one to him out of the blessing, when we give him the tenth, so the word tithe means when we bring it back, here's what God does. God says, I want to pour out a blessing in your life that you won't have room enough to contain it. That's what God does. And we think, well, how am I going to have enough? And God's saying, if you'll just trust me and bring back to me the one, I'll pour out more than you can ever imagine. I'll overflow you so that others can be affected by the blessing of God in your life. But then we got our one, and we're saying, well, maybe I could give this to slick guy on TV that said if seven people send these in, he'll give me $77,000. We're thinking, well, there's somebody I know that they probably, you know, they need this better than God. No, God's saying, it's not about need. But check this out. God never needed our money.
That's right.
He's not up there wringing his hands. How am I gonna pay the light bill for heaven this week? He is the light. He's not up there thinking, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to have to, you know, pawn the pearly gate. No, he's got enough. He's got enough. In fact, check this out about God. He's got more than enough. I'm just making it real for you. Because we'll get really worried about this when God's trying to give us that. And what we can do is we can let this, by holding on to it, block the flow of blessing in our life. We're going to talk about that for a few moments. And then let me introduce you to something else here. So here's the other thing. When you bring yours to God, then God tells us this. I love this in Proverbs 21. Verse 20, in the New King James, it says this, there's desirable treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man squanders it. New Living Translation says it like this, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. Tracking with me? Right? In fact, I love what the NRSV, it's a seminary Bible, right? It says, precious treasure remains in the house of the wise, but the fool devours it. Eugene Peterson, writing in the paraphrasal of the Message, he said this, valuables are safe in a wise person's home. Fools put it all out for yard sales. I don't know how he got that out of the Hebrew, but he did. Right? You get the picture, right? Are you tracking with me? That we got to honor God first, but then we can't squander the blessing. We can't just, right? We've got to be good stewards, good managers of it. So let me introduce you to this. Maybe you don't know this. So if you give God one, Andrew, and then you say, you know what? I'm going to put one in a safe place for later, right? And every time, doesn't he give you 10 more to illustrate this, or you got it? You getting this? You need 10 more apples to illustrate this, or are you catching it? Okay, good. So watch this. Every time he returns one back to God out of the 10, and he takes one and he puts it right 10% in savings, and he gives one to God and puts one in a safe place for safekeeping, eventually he'll have enough saved up. In fact, in 1 year, he could have enough saved up that it equals what he gets blessed with regularly. Isn't that cool? You watching what I'm doing? Now that means this. I've got to know how to steward and manage that so I can do that. Because if I'm just, you know, I was with someone this week, younger guy, and he said, hey, we made a decision not to do this because we really want to be in a position to give. He said, during this series, he was really convicted about we need to make this a priority. And so we're changing a couple things we're doing so that we'll be able to give. That's a good thing, right? reordering my life. And to save, you'll have to do that as well. Some of you have to say, okay, what are we going to do here, right? You know, I may not be able to go to White Castle this week. We'll have to, you may save your life by not, and I'm playing. I got a good friend here that I can't say that bad about. Thank you, Andrew. You want to put him in that bag for me? Thank you. Give him a big hand. Yeah. Book of Proverbs says this, consider the ways of the ant, right? The ant works all summer, stores up, in the, so it has enough. It's good. In fact, if you want to get these two, because those will end up falling off. Thank you. Appreciate this guy. He'll never eat another apple in his life. Yeah. So let me talk to you for a moment about the tithe. Everybody say tithe. It's an old word, means tenth. And I think a good way of looking at it is the devoted thing that we have in life. So this is God that's devoted to him, so we bring it back and return it to him. And I talk about tithing as a principle, right? So I'm not here to beat you up over it, make you feel guilty and condemned about it. I want to give you a principle this morning that will help you. Because making you feel bad and walk out of here and just feel like you're horrible because you've been trying to do this and not getting it, or because you've never heard it before, I'm not in business of doing that. I want to empower you and give you life so that you can embrace this and it can help change your life. And so tithe, when you look at it as a devoted thing, you see it through all throughout Scripture. If it's Adam and Eve in the garden, all these trees, God says you can have them all, but this one, I want it devoted to me. Don't take mine. Give this, in essence, you're giving, don't touch it, don't eat it, it's mine. And then you see Abraham and Melchizedek in Genesis 14, where Abraham gives him a tithe, a tenth of all of the increase. And you see in Genesis 28, verse 22, Jacob is there, and he's met with God, and he said, we're going to call this place Bethel, house of God. And he said, when I return here, when I come here, I'm going to bring a tenth of my increase. Moses, can't look at Moses without seeing this idea of setting aside 10%, a devoted thing for God. And then in the book of Malachi that we'll dive into for a few moments this morning, we see this. And the Old Testament wrapping up the idea, let's make sure that we mention this and get this into people's minds. If it's Achan in the book of Joshua, this is the Lord's, this is a devoted thing, but yet Achan touches and takes that. And so it's the idea of setting aside this for God. Jesus was a tither. He didn't break the law in his life here. He followed Jewish law. He was a tither. He would have been a tither. In fact, he even, and we'll share a scripture this morning about how that he confirmed that with us. The Apostle Paul, again, giving is one of those things that we can do to unleash potential in our life. And I want to give you three real quick principles. You have to write fast. First one is from Malachi 2, verse 1. He says, listen, you priests. And Malachi is a prophet. Malachi is one of those guys that when he says something, he's one of the minor prophets. When he says something, in fact, he said 32 sins he sets right with Israel. And so when a guy that walks in the office of a prophet says something, it's like he's on blades, the hair off your head. I was around one once, I guess, you know. So they're going to speak straight. It's going to be correction. It's going to be step on your toes, and you're going to know it. He says, listen, you priests, this command is for you. Listen to me and take it to heart. Honor my name, says the Lord. And this warning, you know, time and time again, we'll see this in the book of Malachi, the need to give proper honor, worthy honor to God. And God makes it even clearer in the preceding chapter, Malachi 1. He says, I wish that someone among you would shut the temple doors so that these worthless sacrifices could not be offered. I am not at all pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty, and I will not accept your offerings, but my name is honored by people of other nations. From morning till night, all around the world, they offer sweet incense and pure offerings in honor of my name, for my name is great among the nations, says the Lord, but you dishonor my name with your actions. And so he's saying this, I want your heart. Don't bring worthless, you can bring, don't bring worthless offerings. Don't just bring an offering to me, right? Because here's the principle. It's not as much about giving money as it is about giving your heart. And sometimes we lose this. And by the way, God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need our money. He wants our heart. Psalms chapter 50, verses 10 and 12. There's just this whole kind of thing going on where God's just speaking to the people. And he says this. He said, "For every beast of the field is mine." Every beast of the forest, every beast of the field. "The cattle of 1,000 hills are mine." So just so you get this, you know, if a farmer had the cattle of 1 hill, it'd be good. Or if he had the cattle of 5 hills or maybe even 20 hills. God says the cattle of 1,000, they're all mine. Every bird on every mountain, I know it. He said, it's all mine. And then he says this. This is what he says. He said, "Do you think if I was hungry, I would ask you to bring me meal?" Right? Do you think if I was hungry, I'd ask you to bring me some sloppy bacon cheeseburger? No. Because I don't need your money. What I want is, I want your heart. It's not about the money. It's about heart. And that's why Jesus says, where your treasure is, Matthew 6, that's where your heart's going to be. Right? That's why he says in Matthew 6, 24, that you can't serve two masters. Right? That you're going to love one and despise the other. You're going to love one, hate the other. You're going to despise one. Right? You got to make a choice. Who's going to be first in your life? Who's going to lead your life? And when we think about what does it mean to honor, it's that idea. For someone in your life that you honor, you pay tribute to them. You give them a special place. Right? Maybe it's a grandparent, or maybe it's a mentor, or someone that's important. You treat them in a way that shows and exhibits the honor that you have for them. And God's saying this, that he desires your heart. Your heart is going to bring honor when you honor him. Malachi 3:7, he said, "Now return to me, and I will return to you." Second principle is this: it is not as much about the sacrifice as it is about releasing blessing. Malachi 3, verses 10 and 11, "Bring all the tithes to the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord, I will open up the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you will have enough room to take it in. Try it. Let me prove it to you." Right? Put me to the test. One place that God says this. Put me to the test on this. My friend in Mobile, Alabama, for years, he's done 90, once a year he does 90-day tithe challenge. He tells people, he says, "Tithe for 90 days. At the end of the 90 days, if you don't see the blessing of God, come back and we'll give your money back." He said, in all the years they've been doing that, one time they had somebody come back. He said, so we gave them the money back. He said, about 2 weeks later, they came back. And so they repented and said they were so sorry because God was blessing them and they just were too blind to see what God was doing. He said, "I've never had, it's the only time." And he said, those people repented and said, "We were wrong. God is blessing us." And so there's a blessing that comes when we bring right, we put that 10%, we say, "God, we're going to set aside this." There's a blessing, number one, it provides for the ministry. And so, wow, some of you got children back in E-Kids, it's a blessing to you, right? It's a blessing when your children say, "I want to go to E-Kids," and they're all pumped up about it, and they're excited about it. I get to, maybe some of them are on the JV Dream Team, and they get to serve. The idea that, right, ministry's happening because when we give. The other thing is that when we do that, it puts us in a place of spiritual health that causes us to receive in a way that we wouldn't if we weren't doing that. Another thing I believe that happens is for us is that God, because sometimes blessings aren't just material, but God does this in our life, that he gives us creative ideas and insight and revelation and stuff that could produce something that's far beyond what we could just get, right? It's not like, okay, here's an even exchange. I give you this, you give me that. It's not what God's in. God's in the business. You're his child. He wants to bless you. Right? Third one is, it's not a matter of obligation, but an expression of love. Because what we can do is we can settle into a rhythm of where, okay, I'm given, and so I'm supposed to give, and that's what I do. I don't like it. I don't want to. We regret it. We talk ourselves out of the blessing, like, okay, here's my tithe. I hope they're happy. All these kind of weird attitudes. When what God wants is love. Or maybe you're like, I want to give, but I can't. Or you know, Pablo conveyed an attitude I've heard before. Thank you, Pablo, for being so transparent with us, right? Don't give those people our money. When you flip that and you realize, well, it's God's money anyways, it changes our attitude about it, right? Malachi 3, verses 13 through 17. "You said terrible things about me, says the Lord. But you say, what do you mean? How have we spoken against you? You have said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying his commands or by trying to show the Lord Almighty that we are sorry for our sins? Then those who feared the Lord, listen to this, then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. The Lord listened to what they said. I think it's insightful. In his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who feared him and loved him and loved to think about him. They will be my people, says the Lord. God was listening to their conversation. He had an ear to hear what they were saying. My little granddaughter, Sophia, she'll be 4 pretty soon. And a few weeks ago, she had some friends over, and her one friend, Abby, was there, and I was there, and they were down there playing and talking. And I said, Sophia, I was getting ready to leave, and I had to go upstairs and get something before I left. And I said, Sophia, or no, I didn't. No, wait a minute. So I do this little thing where I say, Sophia, I love you to pieces. I don't know what that means. I don't know why I say it. I've heard it somewhere. I don't know. I got the little thing. It's something I say to Lucia. It's different than that, and, you know, just trying to be grandfather. Maybe they'll remember years after I'm gone. I don't know. They'll say, he always said that. I don't know. I'm not trying to be all sentimental or anything. So anyways, I'm there with them, and I said, no, guys, there's a girl. They're standing there, you know. I said, there's a girl that I love to pieces. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but I just walked off, and I'm walking up steps, and I kind of listen, and Sophia's down there. GT, that's what she calls me. GT is talking about me. I'm the one he loves to pieces. Yeah. I think it's what God does. Yeah, here's the money, right? Almost like a Home Alone. Keep the change, you filthy animal. Yeah, that's not what God's looking for. That's not what he's looking for. He wants you to come out of love, an expression of love. God, you bless me. You love me to pieces. And I get to do this. Sometimes, Lord, it's not easy, but I got you first in my life, and I'm going to make this a priority. I'm going to order and manage my life so that this can be a priority, and I can live in overflow, and I can bring this, Lord, out of an expression of love, not just because of obligation. Yeah. Start playing, Josh. Thanks. Luke chapter 11, verse 37. Verse 42, I'm sorry. But how terrible, Jesus' words, it will be for you Pharisees. For you are careful to tithe even the tiniest part of your income. But you completely forget about the justice and the love of God. You should tithe, yes, but should not leave undone the more important things. Right? It's that idea that, God, I'm doing this because I love you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, the Apostle Paul said, since you excel in so many ways, you have so much faith, you have such gifted speakers, such knowledge, such enthusiasm, and such love for us, now I want you to excel also in this gracious ministry of giving. I'm not saying you must do it, even though the other churches are eager to do it. This is one way you prove your love is real. Putting God first. Even in tangible stuff, right? Trust is tangible. Trust impacts my life beyond just some kind of thing out here that's all mystical and it's tangible. It comes through the things that I do. And so just while you're seated right now, if you'd bow your heads for a moment, I'm going to pray with you. Before I do, heads bowed and eyes are closed, just ask this question. If you're here today and you say, hey, Pastor Tony, I don't talk about putting God first, talk about Jesus. I don't have that relationship. I don't have that going on in my life, and I want it. I need it. His heads are bowed and eyes are closed. This isn't meant to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. If you shoot your hand up and hold it real high just so I can see it, I just want to pray for you this morning. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? Thank you. Yes, I see your hand and yours. And maybe you'd say also, you're here today and you'd say, hey, I want to get this area of my life right, but I haven't. Right? The idea of, I want to set aside this for God. I want to be faithful to him in the way that he is given, right? Because God gave Jesus for us. John 3:16, we all know it. It wasn't like he had 9 other Jesuses up there. He gave us his all. He demonstrated it, right? 1 Corinthians 15 and 20 says that he's the first fruits. God gave. And so you're here and you say, I want to do that in my life. I want to give. I want to be faithful to that. I want to experience open heaven, blessing in my life. But I'm not, maybe you've, various reasons, but you're just not. And you're just going to be transparent enough to say, hey, pray for me in this area. And if you raise your hand right now, I'll just remember you in prayer. And you may feel like life's out of order. Cool, Holy Spirit give you a reset right now today. And Jesus will make all things new, so don't get caught up in guilt and condemnation about something from the past. Allow God to work in your life today. So thank you for that hand. Anyone else, you just want to get this right in your life, and you've been, it's been a struggle for you, or you look at what you've got, and you can't really make sense of how it can happen. Thank you. Anyone else? Yep. I see your hand. Yep. Good. So many hands. Father, thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you for the potential that's in this house this morning. God, if somehow we could, or pull it up on a screen and see the level of potential in here, God, I think we'd be amazed. I don't think, Lord, that we could even measure what it is. And God, we thank you for that. And God, I pray that we would not just be people of potential, but we'd be people that experienced the unleashing of potential in our life. God, that it wouldn't just remain in our life in raw form, but that we'd go through the stages of development and preparation to see it produced and come to fruition in our life. And so, God, we pray that over this congregation. And Lord, as people have raised their hand and said they're wanting to get this right in their life, and or maybe it seems difficult for them right now. Maybe they can't see past the bills and the stuff and, Lord, the need in their life. Lord, I'm praying, God, that you'd give them, first of all, clarity to see their way through. God, that you'd help their faith level to rise, and Lord, just trust you with courageous faith. And God, we pray for your grace in their life right now. And God, grace isn't something just to cover sin, but it's an empowerment, God, that we can live the way that you desire. And so, God, we just pray that over these people this morning, Lord. We want to be a house, Lord, that experiences all that you have for us, not living beneath the potential, but God, that we experience, Lord, all that you have. And Lord, I pray for those that raise their hands saying they want that relationship right in their life. Can you say this prayer with me today? Say it strong together. Say, dear Father, we come to you. Thank you for the potential in our life. And we ask for your help today in the process of development and preparation so that we can become all that you desire. We repent of our past, wrong decisions, wrong choices, sin. We change directions today. With your help, with your guidance, we're going to live life differently. So I invite you in as Lord in my life. Call the shots. Lead and I will follow. In Christ's name, amen.